Temple of the Lord in most sacred Ujjain Nagari to celebrate, to glorify Srila Prabhupada. It is by the Lord's mercy and Srila Prabhupada's grace and very kind feelings and sentiments of our very dear Pujya Swami Bhaktacharya Maharaj that this servant is here with you to share feelings in glorification of the great spiritual master Srila Prabhupada in this ancient town of Ujjain, known in ancient times as Avantipura. So from Jagannath Puri to Avantipur, Ujjain, and Srila Prabhupada, with Swamiji's permission, I would like to take you at supersonic speed through time on this journey from the reverse journey from Avantipur to Jagannath Puri, ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. Should we take that journey? Very, very quickly. Time is short. The story begins here in Avantipur. It is there in the Skanda Purana, in the Vaishnava Khanda, second part, which is known as Purushottama Kshetra Mahatmya, or Utkala Khanda, in about 3,600 shlokas. The story begins virtually here in Avantipura. Avantipura is referred to as second Amaravati, the capital of Indradev. It was so beautiful, so opulent, prosperous, because the king of Avantipura was Indradyumna. King Indradyumna from the Suryavansi, the solar dynasty, and according to the Purana, fifth in generation from Lord Brahma himself. And he was a great king, a benevolent king, and a true Vaishnava. Having reached the fulfillment of his imperialistic and regal rule, he wanted to dedicate his life in the service of the Lord and build a temple in the place where Lord was actually residing. So he asked his courtesans, his court, all the assembled scholars, where is such a place? And the Purana story goes that one old traveler, pilgrim, gets up and says, yes, there is such a place where the Lord is residing now. And he describes Purushottam Puri. And then at that very moment, the king of Ujjain, Avantipura, King Indradyumna, takes the sankalpa of going to Purushottam Puri, Purushottama Kshetra, and building a glorious temple for the Lord and worshipping the Lord, dedicating his whole life. So he commands his all the different sections of his people in the capital to move from Ujjain, that is Avanti, to Puri to set up the new divine spiritual capital for the Lord. So they go from here. But before that, of course, they had to find out where Puri was. So he sent his emissaries, and one of his emissaries was his Rajpurohit's younger brother, Vidyapati, who comes in the direction of Puri, has darshan of the Lord there with the help of the tribal people, the Savaras. But the Lord is not in this form of Lord Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra as we see them today. He was in the form of Neelamadhava, beautiful Vishnu deity, Sankachakra Gada Padma, in Neelamani, that is sapphire gemstone, with Mahalakshmi, Shesha Anand behind, and Sudarshan and Garudji in front. So the Vidyapati has darshan of Neelamadhava and rushes back to tell the king that, yes, I have seen the Lord and this is indeed the place. King Indradyumna immediately hurries from Avanti with all his people. But by the time he reaches Purushottama Kshetra, the Lord is no longer there. There has been a big sandstorm and the whole place is covered with sand and Lord Neelamadhava has disappeared. King Indradyumna is such a great devotee, he wishes to give up his life. He says, there is no point in living, even a single day, if I am not to have darshan of the Lord. My whole purpose of life is over. But Devrishi Narada, who is with him, guides him, no, please don't do that. This has been ordained. I have heard it from Lord Brahma himself. You have to perform 1000 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and at the end of that, the Lord will reappear again. So King Indradyumna performs the Ashwamedha Yajna, that is in the place where we have the Gundicha temple today, where the Lord during Rath Yatra goes and stays for 7 days. That is the site where the Yajna took place, and at the end of the Yajna, there is the divine voice saying, telling the king that, look, I am appearing again because of your tapasya, and for the sake of the entire creation, for the benefit of everyone here, I will reappear again. You will find a celestial tree, a divine tree, on the waters of the ocean. You can bring the tree and worship. So King Indradyumna goes, sees the tree, they bring the tree onto land. But then there's a problem, they cannot get anyone to do anything with the tree, because all the carpenters, when they try to do something, carve out a lovely Vishnu image, their instruments don't work. Again the tree, the king is in the dilemma. There is a divine voice again saying, look, don't worry, you are a true devotee, so the Lord will work it out. There will be an old person who comes to you and you let him work on the tree. According to the divine voice, an old person comes and the king permits him, okay, please do it, please do something, help me. But the old carpenter has a condition that you have to put me in a chamber and I am not to be disturbed till my job is done. The king says, no problem, please go ahead. So they put him in the chamber along with the tree, they shut the doors. For some time they hear some voices, some sounds, They know the job is being done. But then after a few days, they don't hear anything. The queen is worried. Her name is Gundicha. Queen Gundicha is worried. She orders the doors to be opened. When they open the door, they see Lord Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra manifested on their own. And there is no person there. The old man is not there. So this is how Lord Jagannath Balabhadra Subhadra appeared in the world for the first time. All because of the king of Ujjain. It is because of the great sacrifice, the great devotion for this wonderful Vaishnava, the king of Ujjain, Indrajumna, that Lord Jagannath Balabhadra and Subhadra have manifested to bless the whole world. So, Ujjain has a special significance, very, very special, and that is what brings me here today with Swamiji's kind grace. And then they had to consecrate the Lord. And to do that, Indrajumna along with Devrishi Narada went to Brahmaloka, requested Brahmaji, Lord Brahma came down and did the consecration, the Adi Prana Pratishtha of the Lords. And when the Lords were consecrated, they took a living form. And then the Lords directly spoke to King Indrajumna that, look, these are the daily worships you have to carry out. These are my festivals you have to celebrate, you have to organize. So those were commandments, duties, divine orders, and Indrajumna had to carry them out. After the Pratishtha is over, then what takes place is the first Rath Yatra in the tradition from the Mahavedi, as it was called, that is the Gundicha temple, to the new temple which Indrajumna had built. It is 1000 cubits high, which is almost 1500 feet high. 1500 feet. The original temple, not this one. What we see now, the Jagannath temple in Puri, is the last in a series of temples. Many temples have come over time. This is the last one. But the original temple built by the king of Ujjain was 1500 feet high. And that was the first Rath Yatra from Gundicha temple after the consecration of the Lords to this new temple of Jagannath, the first temple of Lord Jagannath. The Lords were installed there. But having set up everything, Indrajumna did not have any desire for any material acquisitions because he's been to Brahmalok with the human body. So he says that I would like to go back to Brahmaloka. And then he entrusts this duty of serving the Lord to the king of Utkal. Orissa is the modern name, just like Ujjain is the modern name of Avanti. Utkal was the ancient name, Utkal or Kalinga was the ancient name for Orissa. So he entrusts this to King Gala, who was then the king of Utkal, that you have to do these duties of the Lord. And that's how this tradition started. Whichever dynasty, whichever king was the supreme or the sovereign political power in the whole of Utkal Pradesh or Kalinga had to become the first servant of the Lord, and to fulfill the tradition, to fulfill the seva of the Lord in accordance with what the Lord had instructed King Indrajumna. This is how the tradition began, and that's going on with the Lord's grace till now. Although the political power is no longer there, but the seva continues. So this, like this, it came down from centuries and centuries. There is another connection. Of course, when this happened, the initial consecration by Indrajumna, it is beyond history. Historically, the evidence is not there. In fact, in most of our heritage, it is so ancient that it is beyond history. We can only understand, we can only know from the Puranas. They are the only source. Now, according to this Kanda Purana, this episode of Indrajumna took place not in this yuga, but in Satya Yuga. And not in the Satya Yuga of this Manvantar. We are in the Saptam Manvantar of Vaivasvata Manu. This incident took place in the first Manvantar of Swayambhavu Manu. So it's mind-boggling, you see. Now if we calculate, I've tried to calculate how that would be from the first Manvantar in the second, in the Satyuga of the second Chaturyuga, this Indradumna of Avantipura incident took place, and we are probably in the 26th or the 27th Chaturyuga, Kaliyuga, in the 7th Manu. When we calculate, it's something like 2,588 crores of human years. So anyway, it's mind-boggling. So that's when the Lord's, you know, manifestation took place, all because of the king of Avanti, Kapu Jain. It was his sacrifice, his devotion that manifested Lord Jagannath as we see him today. And so the tradition continued down the centuries, about which we don't have historical record. But then there is another connection which we get in history with Ujjain, between Purushottam, Utkal Pradesh and Ujjain. In 1st century BC, there is a very mighty king of Orissa. His name is Kharabela. And he had conquered most of eastern India. And his daughter, whose name was Kalinga Kumari, was married to the heir apparent of Ujjain king. His name was Vikramdev. I have to check up the history books on this. On the condition that the princess would spend 6 months in Orissa and 6 months in Ujjain, because she had been nominated by the king of Orissa, Kharabela, as the governess for the southern part of the kingdom there in Orissa. So this is another connection. So like this, the history goes on, and whichever political power, the sovereign ruler of Orissa becomes the first servant of Lord Jagannath. And because of the Lord's mercy, all the great acharyas, they come to Puri to worship the Lord, to invoke the Lord. They establish their own ashrams, their own monasteries in Puri. We have from Bhagavad Adi Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, all the great acharyas, and then of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1510, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Jagannath Dham. The story is well known to you. Then after traveling to South India and to Vrindavan, then he finally settled down in Puri from 1513 to 1533. The last 20 years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life was only in Jagannath Puri, having darshan of Lord Jagannath, worshipping Lord Jagannath, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence there, Purushottama Kshetra became a vibrant, dynamic Vaishnava center. And all the Vaishnavacharyas flocked there. Then, of course, Pratap Rudradev, you all know, he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually all the kings of Orissa, they were later on, they came to be known as the Gajapati Maharajas. They served the Lord and served all the saints who came there. And then we take a jump 350 years from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and come to Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now, in 1870s, the king of Puri was Divya Singh Dev. He was Divya Singh Dev number 3rd and number 4. We have 4 names which circulate. Fortunately, it's not me, because that Divya Singh Dev was convicted of murder in 1877, and he was sent off to Andaman Island. Then there was no cellular jail. The independence movement and the cellular jail came later on. So all the those who rebelled against the British authorities, they were sent off to, it was known as Kalapani, and they were sent off and left in the island to die because it was full of poisonous snakes and no food. So Divya Singh Dev was sent there to Viper Island, and there he finally perished. Fortunately, it's the other Divya Singh Dev. Fortunately for me. But during his time, the British, who were actually controlling Orissa at that time, most of Orissa, they found that the temple affairs are not being properly managed, so they arranged for the magistrate of Puri to look after the temple affairs, and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a magistrate in Puri at that time, It's around 1870s or something. And so he, for several years, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur served Lord Jagannath directly by looking after the affairs of the Jagannath temple there. And that was the time when the birth of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur took place in Puri, very close to the temple on the Grand Road, on the road on which Sri Tathya took place. That is the place of the Chaitanya Gaudi Math now. That is the birthplace of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, I think 6th February 1874. And it is said that when the mother of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur brings the little baby onto the street on Rath Yatra day, the chariot of Lord Jagannath stops and a garland of the Lord Prasadam falls on the little baby. This is to foretell the great mission which the little baby had in hand. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur laid the foundations of the total Gaudiya movement around India, founding perhaps about 64 Gaudiya Maths around India, and laid the foundations for the great mission Srila Prabhupada had to do. He set the stage for the great work of Srila Prabhupada. In the very first meeting which Srila Prabhupada had with Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur in 1922, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur categorically advised him that you have to take the message of Krishna consciousness around the world, to the west, all over the world, because that is the forecast, that is the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Harinam Sankirtan will be heard in every village, in every town, in every city. Now, this became a guru, adesh, for Srila Prabhupada. And it was in his mind. But it was not till a long, long time. At the age of, I think, 69 years, when most of us, if we lived that long, would think of retiring comfortably, having put sufficient money in the bank or someplace, lead a very comfortable retired life. 69 years, when the body starts giving problem. Who wants to work? When we would very comfortably sit back at home and maybe do japa or something, here was this old person, Srila Prabhupada, 69 years of age, who decides to carry out his guru's order and travel. Those days, you know, it's not easy. Nowadays it's so easy to travel from India to America, and it is a 2 month journey by ship. And in that 2 month journey, Srila Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks. But nothing could happen because he had to fulfill the God's mission. And he lands up in USA without a penny in his pocket, without knowing what to do. So this is, I think, one of the best examples of Sharanagati, of complete surrender to the Lord. You surrender to the Lord and the Lord takes it up, Bahamyaham. Then he does the work. It's not the individual, the human being who is acting, but it's the Lord's power. It's the Lord's actions which take over. So, Srila Prabhupada completely surrendered. Now imagine the situation, those who have been to New York and who have been to Greenwich Village. And in 1965, that was the, as you've just heard, the hippie movement. So LSD, marijuana and all sorts of drugs, intoxicants, full in the park, people doing all sorts of things. And here is this elderly person of 69 years in strange clothes doing Harinam Kirtan, unheard of. Just imagine the courage and the conviction of Srila Prabhupada and the sacrifice. It's only supreme devotion, complete surrender to the Lord, which made that possible. And what followed is something which is magical, or to use a better word, which is divine. To, as you just heard, to make human beings from the people who had gone off the path, it was known as a counterculture, who had dropouts, they could not keep pace with the materialistic rat race of USA, and they had just dropped out and they were looking for alternatives. And they had taken to the wrong path, they were going to hell. To retrieve them and to make them human beings, and then good human beings, and then from good human beings to divine beings, it's a miracle. And all within the span of a few years. And then Prabhupada founds the Krishna Consciousness Movement in 1966 within 1 year. And in the next year he is in San Francisco. And one day he is in his I think it's Radha Madhav Temple or something. 518 Frederick Street in Hyde Ashbury District of San Francisco. And Prabhupada is sitting there, and Malati Devi, Mataji, comes and takes out a little 3-inch doll from her bag. That here, Maharaj, I've got this. And immediately Srila Prabhupada does pranam, and with great devotion starts speaking. Malati Mataji is surprised. What is this? I go to a little store which is dealing with import goods called Cost Plus, and I buy this little souvenir which took my fancy, and Prabhupada is, you know, doing dandavat and all sorts of things. What's this? Then Prabhupada explains to them, this is Lord Jagannath, he is Lord of the universe. And there may be two more like this. So she says, yes, yes, there are two more like this. So she runs back and gets Balabhadra and Subhadra. That's the beginning of the Lord's manifestation in USA. It's all Lord's Leela actually. And Prabhupada becomes the instrument. And immediately Prabhupada tells Shyam Sundara, the husband of Malati, that look, can you carve out big images of this little 3-inch dolls? Then immediately Shyam Sundara gets on the job, and 3 feet images of Balabhadra, Subhadra and Jagannath is made and installed there. And the Rath Yatra begins. That's the beginning. 1967. And then the rest of the story is well known. And many of you have played an actual part. We are saying things which we have heard or which we have read. But there are many of you here who have actually been a part of this movement, who have been next to Srila Prabhupada, who have served him, who have served this mission right from the beginning. And then, of course, in span of about 12 years, Srila Prabhupada goes around the world 14 times and founds 108 centers. You know, this is not humanly possible. At the age of 69, he starts his mission abroad, and in a span of 12 years, it's a worldwide movement. We must understand that it is not Srila Prabhupada, it is the Lord himself. It is humanly impossible to do this. Had it not been the Lord's will, had it not been the Lord's desire, had it not been the Lord's strength, nothing would have happened. And this was something that the world needed most of all. Now, 20th century, the world, global humanity had made tremendous achievements in science, technology, all sorts of material advancements. But in the spiritual field, very little was to be seen. It was dormant. So, with all this progress, the human being, the individual, had become sort of imbalanced. Outside there was so much opulence, but inside it was rotten. Inside was all hollow. There were asuras, all sorts of demons in the form of human beings, all sorts of animals in the form of human beings, which comes from excessive materialistic culture without counterbalancing spiritual inward growth. And this was the great mission which Srila Prabhupada fulfilled. It was Lord's planning. See, a thing is precious. The value of a thing is measured also by its rarity. Because it's not available, therefore it is precious. Now if we go to a desert, arid land, where there is no water, and we are having a lot of gold and diamonds with us, it won't have much value. But a drop of water, it's got much value. It can save life. Similarly, what the world needed, global humanity needed in the beginning of the 20th century, was spiritual awareness. It needed a spiritual revolution of the kind that Srila Prabhupada brought into being. This is the only thing that can save mankind. So, the movement took a U-turn. We were all sinking. World humanity was sinking, going on the path of excessive materialism without, devoid of spirituality, and that would lead us to our destruction. World War I, World War II, and if there's World War III, nothing would remain perhaps. But now there is hope. When the world humanity, when the global humanity wakes up to this spiritual awareness, to this Krishna consciousness, yes, there is hope for humanity. This was the great role which Srila Prabhupada had to fulfill, to bring spirituality to the forefront at the international forum, at the global forum, to make, to give a chance for a better tomorrow, for a golden tomorrow. So with these words, I would like to pay my homage to the great master, Srila Prabhupada. And he continues to be with every devotee. It is said that when the master departs from his physical mortal body, his power actually becomes manifold. He is at the same time with everyone. He is no longer limited by the physical form, because he is expanded to a subtle dimension which is more potent, which is more powerful. And so at the same time he can be with each one of us. At the same time he can be there to give strength to each one of us. It is our duty, and it would be the real tribute to Srila Prabhupada, if this mission, which is a divine mission, which is God's own mission of spreading Krishna consciousness around the world, is taken further and further, made more and more intensive. As we just heard, there are about 450 centers now, more than 400 centers around the world. It shows that Srila Prabhupada's grace is multiplying. Srila Prabhupada's work is going ahead very, very nicely by all devotees around the world. That must be kept on, because still much remains to be done. Kali Yuga is still very, very strong, and the proportion of the sattvic people, of those who are spiritually inclined, is still very, very small. When we take out the newspaper every day and read, we know what's happening to the world. So Kali Yuga is very much there. So the job is yet to be done. It has to be constantly going forward, and that is our seva, that is our real offering to Srila Prabhupada. If we can do our little bit to help the mission grow, so that ultimately the force of Kali Yuga weakens and Satya Yuga dawns for a golden tomorrow. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Sanatana Maharaj for giving this seva so much time, and thank you very much for patiently, for so patiently hearing me. Thank you. Hari Om. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve Santu Niramaya. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhavet.